All right, thank you so much for that greeting. And now let me gather us together around the reading of God's Word. And today it's in Genesis chapter 17. I'm actually going to read two more verses in addition to the 1 through 8 printed in the bulletin. Genesis 17, verses 1 through 10. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. And the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. As I said before, God addresses Abraham here. Now, the backstory of Abraham, Genesis 12, Abraham is called out of his homeland, and he was an idolater. He worshipped in his homeland false gods, and God called him out of that situation and set him on a path that would be a path of very blind faith. God promised Abraham an heir, and through that heir, the nations of the world were going to be blessed. Now, as Abraham progressed in that walk of faith, he traveled many, many miles to the land that God had sent to him. There, on a promise that this land that he walked upon would become his own and his children's possession. But he was childless, and he and Sarah were not getting any younger. And so, if you remember, during this promised time, Sarah and Abraham were thinking, maybe we can help God make this happen. And so, as was a custom of that time, Sarah gave Abraham her handmaid, and they had a child together. And his child's name was Ishmael. But that was not to be the child of the promise. And God told Abraham that this child is not the one. As Abraham said, may Ishmael walk before you. In other words, may his life represent what you have promised. And God said that it is not through Ishmael. Ishmael would be blessed. I will bless him. But it is not through Ishmael. You will have an heir. Now this is a long, long time. He's 99 years old. Sarah, again, is past the age of childbirth. But God told Abraham, it will be a child, your child, that will be the promised heir of my covenant. Now have you ever looked into the face of darkness? Have you ever looked into the face of how in the world is this going to happen? That's what Abraham was looking into that day. But his march of faith, his walk of faith had prepared him. It had strengthened him for this particular time. But you have to see and maybe try to put ourselves into Abraham's position there about how can this thing happen? How can I have an heir? How can Sarah and I have a child when we are in such advanced age? God, how are you going to make it happen? In fact, if you read the account, you remember that Sarah really kind of chuckled when she heard this. Like, how in the world am I going to have a child? But God addressed Abraham as God Almighty. Abraham, you just have to believe the promises, and I will make it happen. And then God tells what he will do for the people. And how can he say, I will do that? Because he is God Almighty. Now this concept of covenant, especially since we have some visitors here today that may not know the covenant theology that we hold to here. We believe that God has established covenants with his people over the course of biblical history. That first covenant that he had was an agreement. It was agreement with Adam, that Adam, who was created in perfection, if he could continue to live his life and to honor God and in obedience, that he would live long and he would have that land, if you will, that God had given to him there in the Garden of Eden. And then there was a covenant that we call with Noah, when God put the rainbow in the sky, and it was a covenant of stability of the world, that there would be seasons, and that God would never again destroy the world by flood. Then there was a covenant with Abraham. And what a covenant is with God is that God is binding himself to the other member of that covenant. God is binding himself. God is saying, I am going to do this. I have chosen you to be my partner, if you will, in this agreement. And I'm going to bind myself to you. And I'm going to be your God. I am going to deliver to you all of these promises. And that's what we believe now in covenant. And that's why young Jake was brought today. Jake was brought into the idea that God's covenant with Abraham is still in effect. And we don't have time to really open all of that up. But in essence, concentrate on that promise of God. I will be a God to you and to your offspring after you. And he repeats that. I will be their God. And so with that concept of God will be our God, he's binding himself to his people, we believe that God's covenant promise is still in effect. And so believing parents bring their children to be baptized the same as believing parents brought their young sons to be circumcised in the day of Abraham. And God established this. And we'll talk about a little bit more about what circumcision meant in just a little later. Now, when God says, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many and a multitude, if you remember that Ishmael, Abraham's son, history tells us and historians tell us that Ishmael was the forefather of the Arabic nations. And of course, Isaac, Abraham's son, was the one for the forefather of the Jewish nation, or the Hebrews. And so, even though those two nations became a multitude, the core of this promise here is actually unfolded in Galatians 3:16, where Paul talks about the seed, that offspring. God said, you, Abraham, your offspring, or your seed in some Bible translations, that's going to be the blessing because I'm going to give you that offspring. And so Paul says it was not a plural there. It wasn't offsprings. In other words, it wasn't all of the descendants of Abraham. It was looking to one descendant, and that was Christ. And so the New Testament wraps itself around the promises given to Abraham as well as in the coming of Christ, that Christ was that promised seed. And through Christ, all the nations of the world, not just the Jewish nation, all the nations of the world will be blessed in him. How are we blessed in him? By receiving the promises that God has given to Abraham, that I will be your God and you will be my people. What is involved in God being our God and us being his people? Well, he's telling Abraham here. He says, walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between you and me. Walk before me. What does that mean? Walk in Scripture is a way of life. When we become Christians, we become a representative of God. God has made man in his image. But to take on the name of Christian, we become part of the family of God. And in that family, we represent him, not just in church, but we represent him wherever our paths may lead. And I know I say this a lot to the congregation here, but we have to have the concept that church is not something with a time clock at the back door. That we come in and we punch a card and now we're going to be church. And then after the worship service is over, we go and we punch out like we're at work and we go and we become whoever that we want to be. To take on Christianity is to take on the entirety of God. That's what God was asking Abraham to do here. I want you to surrender all of you to me, not just a part of you, but I want you your complete faith. I want your complete obedience. I want you to be my child because I am going to be your God. And that's what he's asking of us this day as we come to him in faith and obedience. Through Christ Jesus our Lord that has prepared the path, who has taken the penalty for our sins, has hung upon the cross for us, and has opened the door that we can be children of God. And that concept of the family of God then has a weight of responsibility upon all of us. That we bear his image. That we make him look good in all facets of our life. I had a conversation last night with a person who was very distraught that just divorce was just running rampant, troubles in marriages. When we make God look good, it matters how we treat each other. It matters how husbands and wives treat each other. It matters how parents treat their children. It matters how children respond to their parents. It matters how members of a church respond to each other, how members of a church love each other. It matters how you respond to your co-workers, your colleagues. It matters how you respond to that lady in the checkout line at whatever store you happen to be in. Why does it matter? Because you're now a child of God. Because you now represent the kingdom of heaven. You are a citizen of heaven. And we live in that world of trying to be a spiritual citizen, trying to be a citizen of heaven and representing all of that, and then living in this world that we have to live in. And that is why God gives us His grace, His Spirit, to help us in that journey of faith, that walk that He was calling Abraham to. And that was a very, very hard walk. Abraham looked into that darkness. He looked into that emptiness. He looked into that, how can this be? And God said, Abraham, I am God Almighty. Trust me. And that's what he's calling us to this day. I am God Almighty. Trust me. We don't know where a lot of our doubt or a lot of our fears and those things that we are doubting, those things that we are fearful of, those things that scare us, those things that keep us up at night. We don't know how they're going to end. We're just looking into a big black hole sometimes. And there in the background is all those words to us this day, those same words that God spoke to Abraham. I am God Almighty. I am God Almighty. Trust me. Trust me. And we all know that sometimes that's easier said than done. But that's what Abraham was called to. That's what the church is called to trust me. Kurt and Rebecca are going to trust God with Jake's life. Kurt and Rebecca trust God with Lane's life. You who love them, surround them. And you too are called to live your life before Jake and Lane in a way that points them to Christ. That points them to God. We as a church that have just committed ourselves to help this family bring up their children in the care and nurture of the Lord, we are committing to live our lives before these young children in a way that represents God. And so I don't want that ever to be lost upon anyone. Just as Abraham was called to represent God before his family, because Abraham said, I want all of your members, all of your male children, all of your male members of your household, even those that are brought into your household are going to be circumcised. And they're going to be part of this covenant. They're going to stand in this covenant. So what there? As we pursue our personal holiness, we have that Spirit's presence. And that Spirit's presence is a guide and a guard. He is a guide because he helps us to understand every day more and more about the things of God. He is a guard because he continues to give to us the truth of God. the truth of Christ. He continues to help us to be able to decipher this very complicated world in which we walk. But He uses God's Word. And it is up to us as God's people to take that Word in so that that Spirit can then use it to guide us, to guard our hearts against deception, against evil, against the corruption not only of our own hearts, but in this world in which we walk. And so Abraham was called to that walk. Abraham was called to live his life before God in a way that represents God and represents the care that God was getting ready to bestow upon him and the sign that God was getting ready to give him. Scholarship says that circumcision was an identity mark. It was taken by Abraham and his household, all the male members, as a sign of the belief that God will do all that He has promised. But it was also a reminder to the people of whose they were. Now, baptism is not worn, if you will, in the same physical way that circumcision was. But baptism represents the same thing. When we bring our children to be baptized into that covenant promise that God desires to be our God, we are delivering our children into His care in the hope and faith that one day this child will declare his or her faith in Him. And we are saying that there is nothing that is too big for God. That we are declaring that this is God Almighty who holds the life of my child and who holds our lives in His hands. And we believe in these promises, God, that You are a good God who wants to give good gifts to Your children. And so we pray for our children. We pray for our loved ones. That one day the Spirit of God will enlighten that heart. And that heart will respond. And they too will become a child of God. And so baptisms, whenever we see them, it reminds us of whose we are. And the great price that was paid for us in Christ Jesus. Because Scripture says we were all bought with a price. The wages of sin is death, as Scripture says. And so what Christ did was He took on that death that paid for our sins so that you and I can now walk in the freedom of forgiveness and grace, experiencing the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the triune God that dwells, that is bound to us. As God says, I'm going to bind myself to you in this covenant. And so that is His promise, that Spirit that we call a sign and a seal in our terminology of God's promises to us. It is God's way of saying, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to live with you. I'm going to be in you. I'm going to be around you. And there's no place that you can go that I won't be there with you. But as I like to share with folks, that is an act of faith. We can have all of these promises from God. We can have all of these almighty works that surround us with what God has given to us to guide our lives, to guard our lives. But if we don't use it in faith, as the illustration I like to give to this congregation, it's like you're having a flat tire on the side of the road and somebody pulls up with everything that they need to fix it and you wave them on, no, I got this covered. It's that kind of concept that God has given us what we need to live a life before Him that pleases Him. To live a life that can find peace and comfort even in the midst of the most of the blackest black. Of the most vast unknown. As we love our loved ones, as we think about our own lives, that God has given to us what we need to be at peace and rest in the concept of God Almighty. But I encourage us all to walk in faith of that promise. Because without walking in faith of that promise, God is pouring out His Spirit, but yet we're not walking in it. We're not receiving it. We're not experiencing the good that He has for us. And so come to Him as faith, just like Abraham did. Your thought for today, if you don't remember anything else about what I said, hold on to these words, that God will deliver on His promises. God will deliver on His promises. But it is up to us to go in faith of holding on to that truth that God will deliver on His promises. Let me pray for you. Father, as we come before You this day, we just thank You for holding us in Your hands, for binding Yourself to us through Your Spirit, by that great act of grace of Christ on the cross and His resurrection, where He promises His people that we can live in a troubled world without fear because He has overcome that world. Give us faith, Father, to live in that promise that there's nothing in this world that can take us away from You. There's nothing in this world that can destroy our faith because You hold it steady in Your hands. You are God Almighty. There is nothing too big or too small for You. May we walk in God Almighty. May God Almighty be our comfort. May God Almighty be our grace. May God Almighty be our strength. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.